Could it be that we have the jobs and just don't have the right workers for them?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. As we wait for Friday's big monthly jobs report from the Labor Department, we just got an early look at the nation's employment situation for August. The job placement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas says companies announced 51,000 layoffs last month, which was better than July, but still worse than last August. As for hiring, some people are hoping the booming high-tech sector will come through. But as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, many tech companies have the jobs. They just can't find the right people for them.
High-tech companies have long complained the U.S. doesn't educate enough engineers with advanced degrees. But asking American CEOs if there are enough engineers in this country is a little like asking a child if the world has enough ice cream. Or so says Vivek Wadhwa.
At the macro level, there's absolutely no shortage of engineers in America.
Wadhwa is a visiting scholar at the University of California at Berkeley. Wadhwa says there are some engineer shortages, but they tend to be regional and confined to specific industries.
In Silicon Valley, there's extreme shortages of highly skilled programming talent. It's not a national problem, and it's not a generic engineering problem.
When it comes to engineering talent, Wadhwa believes what matters most is quality, not quantity. And today, more than half of all engineering PhDs awarded by American universities go to foreign students. And these days, many of them are heading home after graduation. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Well, a job that Steve Henn used to have is being eliminated today. Back in high school, he was a page in the U.S. House of Representatives. And due to budget cuts, the 200-year-old page program is being canceled. Here's our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale.
In the age of Twitter and instant messaging, there's no longer need for high school pages to shuttle bills and documents around the Capitol. House leaders say it's time to save the $5 million annual cost. But lots of former pages, like legal scholar Jonathan Turley, say the program is worth the price.
It was a transformative experience. That's the only way to put it.
Turley says the money is not an obstacle, and House leaders know it.
Former pages include some of the most successful people in the country. We were prepared to take over the program, not just administering it. We said that we might be able to fund most, if not all, of the program.
A bipartisan group of representatives is also trying to save the program by cutting costs. Minnesota Democrat Betty McCollum thinks the number of pages could be reduced.
Programs change, and they should change, but we didn't get an opportunity to have a discussion about change. It was abruptly ended.
So far, the much smaller Senate page program will continue. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in Europe and Asia this morning, up about 1% in London right now. Hewlett Packard says it's going to try selling touchpad tablets one more time. The company had said it was getting out of the business and slashed the price from $499 to $99. Can you guess what happened? People actually bought them. On Wall Street yesterday, investors were in a buying mood. The Dow inched up 20 points to close at 11,559.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. Healthcare coverage is supported in part by the California Endowment, a health foundation dedicated to expanding access to healthcare for all Californians.
Many of the victims of Hurricane Irene are turning now to the cost of their personal property damage. Problem is, a lot of East Coast insurance policies don't cover floods. So how do you decide what to be insured against? For answers, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, David, you and I both live in LA. We wouldn't expect something like a hurricane to come here, but who knows? Maybe it would. Should we be insured? Should we be prepared for something like that?
I guess it all depends on what it'll take to help you sleep at night, because that's really what insurance is all about. obviously planning for every possible contingency is nuts, unless you are Bill Gates and you can throw money at every problem you like. Otherwise, you want to play the odds. So if you live in L.A. like we do, earthquake insurance is something that should be high on your list if you're a homeowner. If you live on the East Coast, then you think about hurricane insurance.
So all those people that just experienced the earthquake last week on the East Coast, they were probably right not to have insurance for that.
Oh, absolutely, if you are playing the odds. Well, that was the first earthquake they felt in, what, 70 years,
right?
Something like that. So who is going to buy earthquake insurance for something like that? Whereas out here, you'd be nuts if you have a home to at least not take a close look at that product.
So you're better off not having insurance and then just paying out of pocket if you suffer any damage from any disaster that happens.
I guess in those extreme cases that we're describing, the rule of thumb here, Jeremy, is the amount of equity that's in your home. And so that's when you want to start really planning for a disaster. So if you live in California and you have a lot of equity in your home, you need to protect that. Earthquake insurance suddenly becomes a very good idea. If you live on the East Coast, and again, you have a lot of equity in your home, then you want to think about things like flood insurance or hurricane insurance or locust insurance or whatever it is that's the problem out there. That's what you're trying to protect, though, is your investment.
And what about renters? We're hearing a lot more people are renters these days as the housing market has suffered. Should they be prepared when it comes to insurance?
I know a lot of people who are renters who swear by renter's insurance. All I can tell you is while I was a renter, I never had it, and I did just fine. Now, it's not a very expensive product, roughly $15 a month for $30,000 in coverage or so. And it'll protect you for anything that your landlord's policy might not cover. So we're talking about natural disasters, possibly theft, things like that. Again, it all comes down to peace of mind. If this is going to help you sleep at night, then that's $15 well spent. Otherwise, well, that's $15 you could buy melatonin, you can buy a stiff shot of whiskey,
whatever
will work, you know?
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. David, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, a note of caution when buying an iPad, especially if you're buying one in a McDonald's parking lot. That's what a South Carolina woman was doing when she paid two guys $180 for a new iPad, which she thought was a great deal. But when she drove home, she discovered the tablet was actually just a piece of wood painted black with an Apple logo on it. The criminals did have an eye for detail, though. The fake screen included fake icons for email, photos, and the iPod application. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
What's better than the Good Housekeeping seal of approval? How about the Pentagon's?
People who are skeptical, you know, yeah, that's kind of a niche technology. It's not a niche technology anymore. Look at the Marines start to use it. In the minds of an investor, that's an incredibly trustworthy endorsement.
I'm Tess Vigeland. The U.S. military is going green, but will this spur a green economy? Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.